Norfolk Island, which has tried a number of routes to have its autonomy restored, is now writing to the Australian Prime Minister. The Council of Elders, the Chamber of Commerce and the People for Democracy movement have called on Scott Morrison to restore governance and representative democracy. They say that when Canberra removed the island's autonomy in 2015, the move was ill-considered, hasty and poorly planned. Don Wiseman has been following the story and joins me now. Don, if we can go back to 2015, what happened then?
Well, Norfolk had had its own government since 1979. Its Legislative Council made laws on pretty much everything, tax, policing, education. It was like a state government, really. The level of independence was quite significant. They relied on tourism, they had no income tax, and this worked, mostly. But they got into trouble with the global financial crisis back in 2008, and they've been asking Canberra for help. And Canberra eventually did come in 2015, swept away all the autonomy. There was no consultation. They poured lots of money in, created a system run by the New South Wales government. But for many on Norfolk, they went far too far. There have been lots of protests. There's been a tent protest that's been going on pretty much since the start, I think, at the old parliament. There have been appeals to the United Nations, to the Human Rights Council, and they want to be included on the Special Committee on Decolonisation.
And Canberra has been unmoved, so now they're trying to go to the top. What are they calling for Scott Morrison to do?
Well, a number of things. For instance, in terms of political representation, These groups are saying that they don't really have any. The island's attached to the suburban Canberra electoral seat of Bean. They're 1,900 kilometres from Norfolk. The island is with a little over 1,000 voters, represent a very, very tiny minority within the seat, so they have no clout there. There's no seat in the New South Wales Parliament, so they have no say in policing and health and education and all the other key functions of government. They have a local council, which is pretty much only doing things like rubbish collection, or it was, that is, until it got suspended by Canberra late last year after getting itself into a lot of debt. So the president of the Council of Elders, David Buffett, says they want something similar, re-established to what existed in 2015.
There needs to be a Norfolk Island democratic process, in other words, an elected representative, say, in both what are presently federal matters and in the range of state matters, as well as, obviously, local government matters. And that was a system that was in play, obviously, before the five-year-ago change in governance arrangements.
Norfolk Island, of course, has a unique history. And how has this influenced the way they've done things?
Norfolk Island is different and has been ever since the British government resettled the Pitcairn Islanders there in 1856. As a result of that, a distinct culture developed with its own language and customs, and many think Canberra doesn't have the right to behave in the unilateral fashion that it has. David Buffett not only called it the most undemocratic and chaotic governance in the island's history, but also culturally prejudiced, the island no longer having a say in the provision of key government services.
They have been now farmed out, for example, to New South Wales, and there is now some discussion being held with the Queensland government to maybe farm some out in the Queensland area. But there is no participation by Norfolk Island people in that process, and that obviously is a lack of democracy, and in the lack of democracy it means lessening of our cultural impact in terms of those factors.
And do they have other concerns?
Well, the prospects of the islanders losing their culture is hugely important to them, as we've touched on. And a particular grievance is what's happening over land. When the Pitcairners arrived, they were given land grants. But as Canberra has introduced property taxes, this is to pay for the regional council, because that's what happens in New South Wales. David Buffett says it's putting huge pressure on some who fear they'll be forced off their traditional land by the quest for these property taxes.
There has been no assessment of the capacity to pay those land rates. No study done, no modelling done beforehand. And that has now brought us to the situation where some may be divested of their family traditional lands because they may not have the capacity to pay continuing land rate. And that impact has started to commence now. Now, that is a significant impact on people who live in the place in a traditional way.
So they've sent an open letter to Scott Morrison. What impact will that have?
Well, these groups on the island, they've been battling away for 6 years now, and have not managed to sway anyone in Canberra. But given the problems at the local council with its suspension and inability to pay for itself, and an apparent desire in New South Wales to discontinue the services it's providing, you would think and hope that Canberra might rethink its moves.
In the current climate with the pandemic, if they got what they wanted, how would they support themselves in terms of an economy with travel down?
They still want services, and they would still be reliant on Australia to provide them with some services and some financial support. But they don't want this wholesale takeover by Canberra. From day one, a large part of the island has been opposed to that.
Vinaka Don, that was RNZ Pacific senior journalist Don Wiseman.